and they have five of us or something like that, and they're looking for a couple more. So, but yeah, we'll figure it out.
Nice. What network?
TBD.
Welcome to Game of Nodes, a weekly podcast from independent validator teams.
Hello, and welcome to Game of Nodes, a weekly podcast, despite all the odds, from independent validator teams. What the fuck is up? We are demonetized at minute one. Let's go, baby. We're back. What's happening, fellas?
Fucking babies everywhere.
there's just a lot of interested babies. You know, we used to joke that the real interchain was the friends we made along the way. Maybe it was more the
fucking.
You know what? This is the thing. You think you're out of the woods. You're 18 months in. You're like, I am on top of things. I'm killing it. And then sometimes you just find yourself standing in the middle of the road, being like, where was I going? Cool.
18 months in. Yeah. That sounds like ready for number two is what that sounds like.
Jesus.
Let's do it all again.
let's just
get it over with.
You know, I got through it without too many gray hairs and without my teeth completely kicked in. Let's go. Let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Do it.
Let's fucking go.
Tomorrow's never. Yeah. I guess it's all bear market, right? You got nothing else to do.
You got nothing else to do other than
not responding to pager duty. You might as well live.
Yeah. Fucking. I mean, to be fair, we're shooting the dog, aren't we? So we've announced that we're going to come off Stargaze and Juno. So that's our last two Cosmos networks finally. So there's time in the schedule between PhD and masturbation to knock out another child, I imagine.
You might as well, yeah.
Yeah, that's no. I mean, there is other stuff going on. Obviously, there is business to run. We have other stuff we're doing, but it is still quiet, isn't it? In terms of like,
what, the interchain?
Yeah,
the interchain's pretty quiet.
It's really quiet. It, yeah.
I don't know. I think there's like some sort of weird evolution that's happened, because there's a lot of Cosmos SDK networks that are popping up right now and being busy.
Yeah,
but true. They like don't consider themselves as part of the interchain, right? They're just like, yeah, we use Cosmos SDK, but we don't really want to be associated with these weirdos over here.
But they don't use IBC either.
Some do.
Some do. Actually, the recently it's all Tendermint as just the CL, right? Just on the consensus side, and using totally different execution engines, which we're involved in. I think how many of those use different execution? At least two, maybe three or four that are in that position, which is really weird. It's not weird. Actually, it's fine. But I mean, Polygon did it a long time ago, but still, it's still fascinating to how it's getting deconstructed a little bit.
You know? Maybe they're just Polygon forks, because I think my impression is a lot of these people are coming over from Ethereum. So they can at the very least look at the original Polygon source code and go, oh, okay, that's how you do it.
That's a good question. I don't know, because every time I brought that comment up with those teams, they go, really? like they totally thought they invented it, which maybe they did, but I think it's much later SDKs. I don't think Heimdall's been, I don't even know what version of the SDK Heimdall's on, but
old.
Oh,
it's freaking old, right? Like old.
Does it even use the SDK? I thought it just,
I said SDK. It's probably not SDK, right? I shouldn't have said that. I can look while we're looking, but anyway, but I think all the later ones, like the one I was just mentioning before, I think is probably on 37 or maybe even 50. I don't even know.
Either 37 or 50.
I don't know. I just don't know what version.
Well, I think they did skip from 37 to 50, which is, I don't know the context. I want to know the context for why, but I don't.
I mean, as soon as I said it, I was like, that does actually ring a bell, but here we are. You know?
Yeah. It sounds like you make more progress that way.
I mean, hey, if the candles aren't going green, I've got a plan, lads. We just skip 13 versions. Some say unlucky 13, but not if you're skipping forward 13. You really make.
How do I even figure this out? A little go mod tidy shit. That's all I need to do. Oh no, get so Heimdall uses Cosmos SDK v50.4.
There you go.
Oh,
current baby.
There you go. That's an Heimdall. So they're staying with it. They're on top of it. I mean, it's stripped down, right?
Hip with it.
So that is the SDK, or wouldn't it be?
Well, it sounds like it's just okay.
It's just a consensus side, not the application side, right? Is that the SDK? The SDK was in the app side.
Well, the SDK is the state machine. So,
oh, it is a state machine. Okay.
Yeah. So if it's using the SDK, it's using at least part of the execution layer. Yeah.
I wonder what for, because I mean it talks to a separate. It talks to Boar, which is whatever.
I mean, it could just be for part of an API or.
Oh wait, that was the top of Go. These fucking Go mod files. The bottom of it says replace Cosmos SDK with GitHub Matic Network Cosmos SDK v38.4. That's not that old, I guess.
Yeah, well, but anyway. But the thing is, they could have it could be a fork that then has absolutely everything stripped out. But because of how simple, I mean, it depends like what version of Tendermint you're on. But some versions of previous versions of Tendermint, my understanding is, I'm not a Tendermint expert. I just know I know more about the abstract design of the actual protocol than I know about the actual specifics of the code. But my understanding is that the implementation is relatively unopinionated and low level, to the point that you might actually need to include some of the scaffolding of the SDK to use just Tendermint as a consensus layer in the way that the ETH boomers would talk about a consensus client, because they talk about it being two decoupled things that can then talk to each other. But I believe anyway, at least in the way they're separated in the Tendermint case, part of that functionality would sit in the bit that we call the SDK rather than just the consensus layer. Because the consensus layer is just interested in the ordering of hashes, basically.
Got it. Okay. So
I need to double check and look into that. But there are, to be fair, for the interested, and maybe I should try and dig these up for the show notes, there are some quite interesting conversations that you can find on, I think it's Ethereum Stack Exchange, as well as a couple of blog posts on, because everybody knows the Ethereum, well, I think it's relatively well understood that the Ethereum proof of stake implementation was inspired by and in some ways informed by the design of Tendermint and the Cosmos SDK, but that they explicitly didn't go the Tendermint route. There is quite a bit of stuff written about that and that decision path. And honestly, it's obviously gone in one ear and out the other for me, because it hasn't been retained in my "this is potentially useful future information" pile. But I remember reading it at the time and thinking, "Oh, that's interesting." Anyway,
that's interesting. I thought the timeline was totally different on those two, but maybe not. I guess they're both.
I think aspirationally, though. Yeah, I think they very much went in parallel, but there was some awareness, and I'm pretty sure Bucky has talked about having conversations with the Ethereum core devs about various things.
Yeah.
I think there are some connections there in terms of people having conversations and whatnot. And obviously the design was well known. You know, there's only so many PBFT things floating around. And
but it is turning into it is going back to the original point. Like, it's turning into a pretty we're seeing a lot more of it, you know. And even like Bera, that they kind of wrote their own consensus engine. It's Tendermint based, but like their own one. And then they allow any execution engine, any Ethereum based execution engine. But those times are, I forget what the block times are, one second or something like that, second and a half.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. And some of these other ones, they're all above a second in terms of execution, but it's still, and Bear is interesting because the consensus engine block height and the execution engine are totally separate. Like, they're not like tied, and it's like crazy.
It's confusing. I find it confusing. It is confusing. I still haven't like fully. Like,
how the fuck does that work? Like, yeah. When does that get settled? Like, how does that work exactly? So it's cool though. So anyway, yeah. I don't know. How do we get to talk about this fucking subject? But yeah, Tendermint. It does look like Heimdall's using Tendermint v3424. That sounds old as fuck. And that looks like that was back in 2022. So yeah, that sounds more. Which I'm surprised that Tendermint version actually works with the SDK at version 50. I don't know how, even what they're using that for, but there you go.
That doesn't sound like a long term service type version.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. It might be. I don't even know if they're. I mean, they're not really using the SDK there, so I'm not sure exactly what's happening with that. But anyway. And then also they're using, yeah, and then plus the Bora for the Ethereum side. So yeah, so testnets, I agree with you. Like testnets are kicking up a little bit, like a lot more. The next wave, I guess, that's starting to get to a point of actually testing something or trying to work something forward, right?
I think it's interesting how many networks are. Maybe interesting isn't the way isn't correct, but so many networks are trying to like fight on speed right now again. That happened a couple of years back where they're like, all right, we're just going to speed everything up. We're all going to change this one setting, make it 1 second, whatever. And then it kind of died down and everyone back to 6 seconds because they're like, 1 second didn't really improve anything. Node runners aren't happy. And now it's starting to happen again where they're like, okay, let's start this pissing contest of speed back up again.
Right.
It's all a bit redundant, isn't it? Because it's like, yeah, we can get these blocks really, really quick only to get completely roasted by like the fourth gen chains. Like... Let's start a pissing contest with Aptos and Sui and Solana, which we're going to lose. Awesome. Good one.
Yeah. I haven't seen too much in terms of speed lately, or at least in terms of the ones that we're working with. It's been, I don't know. It seems like it's a similar round of use cases, though. I would say that.
What's the use cases?
Some dpn, some bridging... type of abstraction, you know.
Dpin is really hot right now.
Yeah.
It's like Zoolander hot right now. Like I've been to a crypto conference. I'm going to another one in a couple of weeks. And I've also been to an academic thing about decentralized systems. And Dpin has come up at every single one. And the level of froth has been similar, would be my review. And it's like, this is interesting. This is obviously what everybody is excited about right now on both sides of the fence, would be my review of Dpin.
So what aspect of Dpin, though? Like oracles or...
And what does Dpin stand for? For those plebeians that have no idea.
Decentralized physical infrastructure, baby. Well, obviously on one side of things, people are like super excited about Dpin because the degens think it's going to make them rich, which is the same reason people are excited about literally every single thing. And the implementers and VCs are like, awesome. This is potentially an opportunity to disrupt highly profitable existing incumbents if they actually get service provision right, which is not a given. Academics are interested in it because they've been writing about this stuff in the abstract for like 30 years. And I guess it's finally maybe going to happen, but probably not in the way that they would want. So that would be my completely reductive and not very accurate review of the current state of Dpin. Although I got literally pitched a Dpin project today. So like it's so hot right now.
Cool.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
It's not new though, but okay.
We did get it's not new, says the Helium validator, who's not salty about Helium being there first and not being on a beach right now earning 20%.
We haven't made any money in Helium in a long time, so it's all good.
So I also had an interesting conversation, not related to Dpin but related to our favorite topic, which is like tombstones. I've had a conversation with some of the devs at Aptos about how the upgrades actually work under the hood and what's going on. Because if you read the move docs for the moved VM, how upgrades are backwards and forwards compatible or immutable. Mm-hmm. And I kind of was just like, yeah, I mean, I know conceptually like the blockchain is move, the two are kind of not separable. But like, obviously it's also a framework, like it's like Cosmosm or whatever, like there's stuff going in on inside, there's stuff going on outside. And I was like, what is actually happening here? And the answer, as it turns out, is there aren't any hard forks. It's always a compatible soft fork.
Right.
So that's why, so a combination of that, I think, and the state model, which is a DAG, is why there's no risk of tombstoning. And that's why there isn't a need for a slashing mechanic. So, there isn't a need for a slashing mechanic for a few reasons. One of which is that, you know, in its current state, it is a consortium blockchain rather than a decentralized project. So at some point you could introduce the slashing mechanic to it. But
I need to interrupt. Sorry for interrupting. Please go. I have to take off now. So good chat with you guys. I'm out of here.
Bye. Later.
Dad life.
Oh, look at that. Replaced.
Schulze looks more drunk.
What's happening?
It's 5:30 for me, so I'm just getting warmed up. How are you guys?
Good, how are you? What's 5:30 at night or in the morning?
Either way, getting warmed up.
Yeah, that's great.
Let's go. Is great.
Jake is,
wow, it's been so Jake long since I've been on this show.
I know, right?
What's going on? Where are you? Other than what looks like a base, tap the mic twice if you're being held against your will.
Yeah, I'm definitely being held against my will, but you know, I must sit in my bunker and just work on stuff until new things.
Until the VCs let you out.
Yeah. Until the VCs let me out. Actually, yeah,
fair enough. That's great. Sounds great. So, what's happening? What's new?
You're building
a deepin project. That's what we're talking about right now. Deepin, it's really hot.
I don't really care about any of the current buzzwords or current meta. This space has gotten way too boring, and too many people are just doing the same fucking shit over and over again, and it's depressing.
So which flavor of the same old shit over and over again have you decided to hitch your horse to then? Which one are we going for?
Well, I don't know. Just to troll some people, I started this thing that's called Layer, and it's just called Layer to troll people.
So who are you trolling?
All the startups that are called Layer.
There are lots of startups called Layer?
Layer something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's lots of Layer this, Layer that. You know.
So is it working? This kind of sounds a little bit like Meta.
You guys are asking way too many questions.
Well, I'm just saying, you come in and you're just like, I don't care about the meta. I don't care about the meta. And then you're like, everybody's called Layer. And I'm like, well, is that sounds like that's
meta. Well, there's another part of the project that's not announced yet. We just announced our kind of boring stuff is we make this thing called the Layer SDK, and it lets you make layers. Great. But the really cool thing that we're adding is we are introducing the Wasm Wonderland, because the great thing about Wasm is that it can run anywhere. It can even run on your phones. And if you want to make, our big motto is just fucking full stack decentralized apps. Let's actually make it so you can run messaging layers and write AI agents and oracles and ZK provers and all this other off-chain stuff that's verifiable on-chain. Not to mention UIs and shit.
Cool.
Is that Cosm Wasm?
I think it's cool. about that. I'm actually working on it with Ethan Fry. So he's actually not been on sabbatical this whole time.
Is he in the bunker behind
he's,
you?
He's actually been
Is he in the bunker too? Are they letting him out? Is he also being held against his will?
No, we're all actually super happy over here in the Ethereum ecosystem. It's great. It's really fucking fantastic. Everyone's a lot less grumpy. And they're
just very normal Ethereum behavior.
Yeah, right. Where's the drama?
Yeah. You know, I think the problem with Cosmosm is that people just completely lost their vision around it. It just became another VM that had a super underfunded developer ecosystem. Yeah. Right. And I think if you look at the amounts of value that Cosmosm has created for the Cosmos ecosystem versus the amounts of funding that has gone its way, I think you'll find a lack of balance.
Right.
Yeah. But I mean, I guess the current amount of money in the Cosmos ecosystem is about tree fitty. So.
Yeah. Well, to answer your question, it's not Cosmosm, it's WebAssembly.
Yeah. Okay. So it's.
And, you know, we're, for what it's worth, we're going to try everything in our power to make it so that existing Cosmosm contracts will just work out of the box with very few changes.
Cool.
Just change the library.
That's nice. Our,
we'll see. I'm not going to promise that, but that's our design goal.
I mean, does it really matter that Cosmosm contracts work? I mean, if there's a better design, design that breaks backwards compatibility, then just do that instead, right?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, what do you want to be compatible with? And, you know, I'm a big believer in interoperability. And I think it's important to be compatible with Ethereum and the EVM standard. And Cosmos makes all these weird design choices that make it a pain in the ass to like interact between these two massive like ecosystems, right? Like,
yeah, true, I guess. But then, I mean, would we be saying this if it wasn't a bear market? Like, we didn't care that much about EVM compatibility when it wasn't the only shop in town because, you know, there's just no money elsewhere, right?
I mean, I did. Like, it just, market collapsed before we could really get to that point, right? Like I really always wanted to make it so you could use MetaMask with no snap, right? Like, who cares if you're using Wasm or the EVM? You should just be able to use, like, the tools that you like, right? There's so many tools that integrate with, like, Ethereum's, like, events models and, like, how you call RPCs and encode data for smart contracts calls. And it's, like, if we made a version that was just, like, orders of magnitude better, I would change my mind. But, in fact, we've made a version that's basically super poorly documented and underfunded.
Yeah, I guess that's true enough. But then that is the nature of, well, yeah, what's to blame for that in the cosmos? I guess it's probably,
I don't think we shouldn't talk about the things in the past. What I want to talk about is the exciting future of how we actually make like some really interesting things for once.
What's right? The interesting thing you want to make?
Cybernetic organizations, a bunch of other like crazy stuff. I don't know. There's a lot of interesting things I want to make on. I want to make for example, I want to see like actually fully decentralized applications. Like I should just be able to connect to a peer-to-peer network and be able to get the front end and every bit of code I need to run a full stack decentralized application. I should be able to run it myself if I want to.
Sure. I mean, that's the kind of direction that something like Penumbra has gone in, because if you're building privacy first apps, you need to have
definitely local, this is super relevant
local
privacy,
compute,
right?
And whatnot.
So if you're making a ZK circuit in WebAssembly, right, which is running in their browser, sure, extension or on their browser, you need a way to distribute that.
Yes, but you don't need global state. You don't need permanent global state.
That's fine. I don't know. I'm just trying to make new ways of like distributing apps and like actually making them decentralized.
What's the goal of decentralization? Is it censorship resistance, or is it just distribution, or is
no? The goal of decentralization is actually like much more based. It's all about terms of service, right? And decentralization is a terrible word. No one cares about decentralization, but people should care about the terms of service, because right now there's all these tech companies that are basically fucking people over with their terms of service. Like Betty is in Slack and she's just doing her job in HR. And little does she know that like Slack is now taking Betty's data to train an AI agent that will replace her job. And she, like, her company is actually paying Slack to do this. Now we're like paying people to like take our data. We are like letting these tech monopolies, these like techno feudalist states, like basically like take all our rights over these platforms, right? To which we, the users, bring all the value. And we're letting them like manipulate our time and attention and just steal our data from us. Like, this is, to me, very unacceptable as we head into the 21st century. Like, networks are increasingly important in the geopolitical landscape. You could argue that networks are actually the most powerful form of governance out there. And yet the ownership and governance of networks is like completely fucked right now. And so decentralization matters because it's about giving you the best terms of service. Because what's better than your own fucking terms of service? It's my data. I do with it what I want. Maybe I want to like pool it with other people and like join a data union and try to monetize it somehow, or, you know, but like give people like a choice. And the only way you give people a choice is by disintermediation, not having centralized parties in the middle that are going to be incentivized to just like do the wrong thing by their shareholders, right? Mm-hmm. So like, to me, like, decentralization only matters because of the politics of networks, right? And we want to get back to a real decentralized web again that puts the users in control and not just farms them like serfs.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't know if blockchain has to be the solution to that, however. I mean, the open web is, I mean, the reason we're on web browsers, we're on doing this and DNS and everything else that came along with that, that that was the original vision of that, right? And we still, there's still a large part of that decentralization that still exists. Email, like things like that, that are totally unowned, right? Like it's a standard that is completely unowned. And same with DNS. Like DNS, I control these domains, like bigballsblockchain.com. We have a total, we can do that, whatever we want with that. We can control where that goes, who views that, all that type of stuff. There's no intermediaries of that. I totally agree with what you said. I just don't know if that necessarily means that this is the solution to that problem. And it's a huge problem, and there needs to be some way. And I think that the way that solution, that change might be the solution of that problem is incentives, and the incentives and also payments, a structure of that. Because otherwise it's creating a decentralized group that might not necessarily be 100% decentralized, that still has the same ownership of, it's just more visible of corruption than the original corruption type of idea. You know what I mean?
Sounds like one step forward, at least.
I totally agree with that.
These systems are evolutionary. And if you're actually into crypto for the ideas, is that you have to realize that the current version is not perfect, but there's so many, this ecosystem of ideas that are evolving in a certain direction, right? Like look at blockchain tech now versus 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Orders of magnitude's difference in terms of performance and capabilities and at the same time, everything's kind of boring and shitty now. It's not it doesn't feel like there's a lot of new ideas, but the tech is amazing now, right?
It is.
We have multiple blockchain stacks that you can choose from that will clock above 1,000 transactions per second, right? Arguably the new problems are just actually building meaningful experiences for people. I know it's such a cliche thing in crypto, but all our decentralized apps are basically run on Vercel, and they've got an indexer backend, custom backend DB that they use to give you that user experience or whatever. And I think we should just be a little bit more radical than that as an industry.
Yeah.
And decentralization can actually lead to amazing new types of user experiences. It doesn't have to be hard. The great thing is you can just in your browser and in a desktop app, you open up a block explorer and you click on a smart contract and you can see, you can download from the chain, right? The UI to interact with that thing.
Yeah.
Right? And you can trust that thing was that hash of that Wasm code that you're going to run was published by this person at this time, with this version, with this other service verifying that they took the source code and compiled it and got that same checksum. Right? I think that we actually do need blockchains for this stuff. It's because we've lost the ability to know what's even real anymore. Yeah. I don't know about you, but if you see a video online, do you actually think it's real anymore? Or is part of you this is probably just AI generated?
Yeah. Somehow? Well, I mean, it's going to get worse and worse, right? But
see, that's the thing. Blockchains have a huge total addressable market because we can't solve this basic thing anymore of knowing what's true. And just wait until
blockchains don't solve.
Cryptography solves that, right?
They solve that a hash matches. They solve an equality question. They solve if X equals X.
That's great. If file hash equals this and the signature is equal to public key, you published this image.
No, that public key did.
Yeah.
It's a low trust situation, but it's not a zero trust situation. And the verifiability of it is potentially moot, right? Because people...
It goes hand in hand with the other thing I've been harping on I don't think we get this deep in this episode, to be honest, but it goes hand in hand with the other thing, which I think is the bigger issue, which is identity. And the fact that you and I, Jake, put up 300 versions of a bullshit video doesn't necessarily make it true, right? But how do I identify that this is the person that say it's a news a news piece or like
okay, let's use another example that's not social media.
Okay.
We don't need blockchains because we got systems that already work, like PDFs and Excel spreadsheets, right? our government loves these things.
And, everybody loves these things.
And paper. Yeah. And you know, the great thing is you can now ask Claude. Claude is amazing at everything. And Claude will generate you like realistic, like spreadsheets of invoices. It's really good at this actually. And so if you want to like, you know, get some deductions for your stuff and you want to just generate like a fake paper trail and then like, you know, now we can make another AI that's going to generate fake images of receipts that will like match the things in the table, right? Now I've got an amazing system to dupe these boomers into giving me a fuck ton of tax refunds.
Yeah.
And they'll never know what's true, right?
Yeah, there's no way to trace it. You're right.
As generative AI gets better and better, it's a cat and mouse game, right? Like there's always going to be new evolutions of this cat and mouse game. But if we don't ever try to like evolve as the side that's like trying to have some amount of verifiability and like trustedness, like we're going to get very much left behind. Like this stuff is like moving incredibly quickly. And I actually do think it is like a good, you know, it doesn't necessarily need a cryptocurrency, right?
No, it doesn't.
But it's a good use of blockchains, right? Like registries of, and I think that at the end of the day, like signatures are the most like basic fucking thing. The White House publishes a public key that they're going to use to like, you know, sign emergency press announcements. And, you know, it doesn't have to be on a blockchain, but using like when they release that video from the White House, it's like signed with a watermark, you know, or whatever.
Don't they do that?
Or no, they, I don't even know. They must already use GBG, messages.
Don't they use a they must GBG, be a GBG key?
You'd be surprised how many of our government institutions do not have like good like infrastructure because setting up good infrastructure costs money. They have to bring in expensive consultants like Oracle that are going to build them some fucking garbage UI and charge them $500 million. So a lot of stuff doesn't actually have like any good processes around it, whatever. I'm trying to get this one document from the state of California and I literally have to print out a fucking form and mail them a check. And I'm very upset about this.
I agree with you. I do think that the verifiability and the hash and everything you mentioned is correct. And the ability to be able to verify and say that somebody, but your White House example, and even your federal government, it still has an identity issue, right? Like, how do you know? Like, how do you?
Well, let's build decentralized identity because maybe we should put our identity verified
by an alternative source, right?
It needs third party verification, which would end up being a government, unfortunately. Yeah. But
guess what? In the decentralized identity standard, we can all own our identity and have third parties verify that those identities, right? Those third parties could be governance or they could be DAOs, right? Like the DID standard is amazing in how it's designed and that it doesn't force you to use a government to like have your identity, but at the same time, they can still interact with it. And if you need that kind of verification, you can get it in a decentralized way. And with ZK identity, we can do this and do it privately. One of the projects that I'm pleased to be working with and like is basically doing like they're called Freedom Tool and they're making like ZK proof of identity and the user experience is amazing. You just download this app, you put your passport next to it, right? And you create ZK proofs of your passport, right? And you can create a ZK proof that you are over this age, that you are a part of this country or like anything, right? Without ever ideally like, you know, revealing your social security number or whatever.
Yeah. I think that's the problem to solve. Like that is such an important problem.
Checked does that. I see Rama's question. I want to just call it out. Checked does this, but you know, the thing with Checked is they bought into, an idea that I won't say this is a bad idea. I'm really trying to be positive. I think that they're very limited by the fact that they've introduced another chain we probably don't need.
Well, that's the issue. I remember using it 2 years ago. I couldn't figure it out.
Why would I want to outsource identity to a third party if I'm BlackRock, for example, and I'm going to like do some huge fucking RWA thing that's like, would I, I need to use the Checked blockchain. Yes, definitely. It's a good idea though. Decentralized identity is great. And, you know, honestly, if they can get to market and make a user experience around decentralized identity, that's great. They'll be successful. Right. It ultimately comes down to them to be able to like make a great user experience around the like these next gen technologies, right?
Yep. How do we get in this tangent?
This doesn't feel like a normal Game of Thrones episode or Game of Nodes episode. I kind of thought we would just like talk about me. It's because Noel's not here, and because Noel is not here, we don't have enough kind of tangents.
Everybody's tired. Of kids, yeah.
Well, three or four of us have young kids. Yeah.
Increasingly now.
Increasingly. Yeah. Good news. All healthy. A lot of boys in this channel.
There are a lot of boys.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of boys.
Statistically
babies.
More than you would expect.
Yeah. I know.
Exactly more.
Yeah. More than the average, you would think.
Pretty certain that we, yeah. I mean, that's pretty. Yeah. I felt it in my waters. I thought we were having a little girl. But
in your waters? What does that mean?
Oh, you know, it's like an old wives thing, isn't it? It's something people say, isn't it? They say, oh, I felt it in my waters.
So, oh, okay.
I was being ironical, as the Americans might say.
I gotcha.
You got it.
Is Schultzy still here, or is he like
I don't know, he's bouncing in and out.
I reckon Schultzy wants to listen in, but is actually busy doing dad life.
He was probably listening into what you were saying and wanted to be able to comment on something, and I was like, oh shit, I'm on. Let me get sidetracked.
I got.
Yeah.
So
one of these days, I'm going to show you, I want to show a demo. It doesn't look sexy enough yet, so I'm not going to show it, but we have a decentralized WASM based AI agents that are run by DAOs. It's pretty crazy.
Tell me,
every time Jake says WASM or DAO, audience, please drink along. Be fair, I didn't know whether they'd.
Everyone's getting fucked up. It's
probably drinking along at the same speed as Jake.
Wait, is that Layer? That's something else.
Yeah, it's called layer.xyz. Type it in your browser. You know. It's kind of like we have two brands. We have I think the boring brand, which is Layer, and then we have the cool brand, which is Secret.
Okay. So, and you said, what were you saying before about in the EVM space? I thought you said in the Ethereum world. Like, say that again.
Yeah, it's an Ethereum project. Because
so why not?
Because I've always been an Ethereum maximalist. Like, I think there's videos about that. Like, I don't know. Most of my friends are in Ethereum, and frankly, I'm kind of just I just want to go build cool shit.
Yeah.
Right. I want to push the boundaries. I want to make things like futurarchy and cybernetic organizations and new types of governance systems and actually make real meaningful decentralized apps and, you know, actually do things and not just be like, yeah. And I think that I'm not going to say anything bad about Cosmos. I think there's some great ideas in Cosmos. I think what we need is the true interchain, right? There's no, I think Cosmos is too insular, and like the real thing is IBC. Like Cosmos Hub is the false god. IBC is the true god.
Sure. But I mean, but hang on a minute. Like, let's just go back a second. But then just building on top of the Cosmos being misguided and just going, well, let's build on top of Ethereum. That's like Georges Sorel getting disillusioned with socialism in France in like the 1915 or whatever, and going, do you know what? Mussolini, I reckon I've had a revelation. Mussolini's actually the answer. That's like Cosmos to ETH Boomer pipeline is the same. Franchised European intellectuals after the First World War.
I get it. And I think, you know, I'm not the kind of person that's going to drink the straight up Kool-Aid from both ecosystems. I think they're they both have great things about them, right? I think that there's all these people on Twitter arguing about who's the one true hub. If there's this is kind of a dumb question if you're into the interchain. I think if there's going to be a one true hub, it's Ethereum. Ethereum's the settlement layer. Look at the fucking numbers. Mm-hmm. The numbers don't lie. You know, every fucking Cosmos chain is basically poor. And, you know, just on liquidity alone, it's an obvious decision.
I mean, but then, I also think it's more than that. A facetious retort to that would be that's because all of these.
I bet you, I would be willing to bet money to someone. Don't repeat this online.
Don't repeat it online.
That there are certain Cosmos chains that are consumer chains that will not be consumer chains at some point.
Oh yeah, yeah. I would totally agree. Yeah.
Cool. I'm not gonna say which ones. Obviously.
I would totally agree with that. Yeah. Like we said that from the very beginning. Like, why would you tie? Like, why would you raise funds to be part as a subchain of that? Like, there's so much. You're so tied to the overall success of an entity you have no control of, right? Like, it's very difficult.
Yeah, it'd be super bad if you like did that to like, and there was some entity that was doing your settlement at like a lower level, and all of your state model was predicated on this like higher level abstraction. Like, you know, it could be an older network. I don't know what we would call it. Something like Ethereum, possibly.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, I'm tired of having this argument, and it's a huge waste of time. It's a huge waste of time in this ecosystem because like people can't come together and collaborate. And really the main reason, like, okay, yeah, liquidity is one reason, but like the main reason I'm working in Ethereum now is like there is a better culture. There are richer sets of ideas. There are people that have been like everything in like Cosmos is just like a copy of shit that already was like innovated elsewhere. And like, I think there's this culture of collaboration that exists there that just does not exist in the Cosmos, right? Cosmos is so PvP. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's detrimental to everybody else, right? Like they, but I really hope that changes. It doesn't have to be this way, right? Like, but the economics make it that way because everyone's fighting to be the one true hub, right? Whereas in Ethereum, they're like, Ethereum is good and we can launch our tokens, but we all agree that Ethereum is good. You know, it's like, people there were like, oh my gosh, there's so much drama between the L2s. And then they told me what it was. And I was like, you have no clue what drama is. Like, which is not to say that like everything is great. There's like, I think a lot of ways that Ethereum can learn from Cosmos and vice versa.
What would be one thing that you would say that Ethereum could learn from Cosmos? I've thought that too.
Focus on I think the focus on interoperability is like
IBC
very much. The roll-up centric version of Ethereum doesn't work if they don't have like good interoperability between these things.
I mean, IBC would be, that would be it, right? Like that would be the true bridge destroyment.
IBC
is great. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I think that it's already starting to happen. But like another reason why I got into Ethereum because I don't know, I got Ethereum when it was like $7 and like didn't have to work a real job and could just work on my like startup for like years because of that. Like, I think the other great thing about Ethereum is just like, just culture. It all comes down to culture. Like it's vibes, right? We vibes technology is what we really need.
Yeah.
Right. And it's not to say that like vibes in Ethereum are perfect, right? Like, there's a lot of people that are like, oh, Ethereum's dead. Like people always say those kinds of things, right? Mm-hmm. But there's not the self-destructive like despair that I've become way too familiar with.
Yeah.
I don't know. I probably have a lot more to say about that, but like.
All right. So next time you're going to show us a demo?
Yeah, totally. Okay. I'm just like, I'm being a perfectionist about it. But I'll tell you what it will be. You know, I think that AI is great. I'm like really stoked about AI. But what's not great is who controls AI. This is the problem that I'm interested in exploring, right? What I don't want to happen is that we just all give away all our rights and all our data to big companies that won't pay us. That doesn't seem very great.
Rama in the comments says, just fucking showing up with this perfectionist bullshit.
No, it's telling me not to do it. But yeah, it's going to be a DAO-controlled AI agent, which means the DAO controls everything about that agent. It controls what is the system prompt? What are the various different parameters like top N and top K and all that shit that you don't understand? What are the, which model is it supposed to use? Is it supposed to use OLAMA 3.1 or is it, who's allowed to run it? Which operators are allowed to run this thing? It's maybe that anyone is allowed to run it and they can just run it themselves and submit their result and sign it with their own key, right? That's one of the things you can do. But we might have professional operators, and that's why I came on this show to recruit a bunch of professional operators that want to like work on some like next gen cool tech with people that don't want to just keep doing the same thing we've been doing over and over.
All those are good reasons, but the biggest one would be what data can be actually sucked into the model, right? So that's probably the biggest one from the DAO, right? It's to say, what sources are we allowed to be able to pull from and what sources are we going to agree that are public domain and or something similar to that? I'm guessing is probably the biggest one.
I mean, there's a million demos to make, but we just have like a general WebAssembly computation environment, right? So we basically have a WebAssembly runtime. And in both the browser and then also in like a node format for people like yourself, right? We have a registry of all the different walls and blobs. You can launch these actively validated services. I know this is a lot of shit. I should have brought my slides, but whatever. You can launch these actively validated services that might be like on this machine. We have a GPU of this type, and we are running these AI models, right? And then people can write these WASM components, give them a security policy, and they just can automatically start running almost like smart contracts, right? So if you've been running Eigenlayer stuff, which I encourage everyone who listens to this show to do, because, well, that's what we're going to be working with at the lowest level. Though we hope to make it better, I'd be also interested in hearing people's complaints about running infrastructure. That's why I love listening to your guys' show, is like listening to you guys complain all the time. It's really...
It's mostly fun. The fray, to be honest.
I live in a wet, cold place. We're complaining people. I can't help it.
We're complaining people.
If I lived somewhere that was somewhere fucking sunny, I wouldn't have... What would there be to complain about? It would...
Did you talk to Borg Maximalist about you exiting the Juno set?
I mean,
the charter got disbanded. I got kicked out. So
yeah. You exited the Juno set a long time before any of us.
Yeah, I know. It's I don't know. It's different, right? It's weird. It makes me sad that
maybe at some point Juno could just like use better technology and try the experiment again, and maybe not have a massive bug in the airdrop or whatever.
So it doesn't take much to destroy it, does it?
I mean, the thing to do again would just be to have a permissionless execution environment that is not tied to a speculative asset. You know, how you do a compute environment that can verify and run things. I mean, we have containerization. This is a very astonishingly solved problem at the low level. The scheduling is hard. The execution is hard. The distribution is hard. The uptime and latency are hard. These are all hard, complex problems for networking engineers. But the fundamental problem with Juno is economic. And the lower level problem with Juno is Tendermint. But that's another.
I think the problem with Juno was, yeah, it was built with the Cosmos SDK. And, you know, it innovated for a time. And then there were a series of unfortunate circumstances. Yeah. And, you know, I think, honestly, if it was just one of those unfortunate, like if it was just Prop 16, we would have been fine. It was Prop 16 followed by a Terra crash, followed by like a very fucking long drawdown, followed by a fucking SBF, followed by like a horrible 2023. Yeah. And we weren't a VC chain. We had no fucking money to pay people. And like when we lost Reese, that's when it was over for me.
Yeah.
I was like, well, we have no ability to like actually innovate or do anything. People will complain if we pay people. I just want to go do cool shit. And, you know, if there's a Juno 2, you know, people using open source software to do whatever, like, you know,
yeah. Who knows? Rummer says Juno's problem is socialist led to economic. I totally disagree. It was the other way.
Yeah, I was going to say exactly the same.
It was the other way.
It was the other way. Led to social.
It was such a bad, unfortunate series of events. And then once it started going down, then the fervor really started. And then that's where people are just fucking clawed each other, right? Like that's really what happened.
I mean, and that's when people started really playing the blame game and looking like who to blame.
Right.
Right. And the reality was like, there was no culprit that was like 100% responsible. Yeah. Like, and some things were just like, I mean, look at Do Kwon. Like, obviously he did some like bad things. I don't think he should be in prison or whatever, but that's my personal belief. They should lose, like get sued a lot. But like, you know, even a lot of, so much of that was like out of his control, right? Like they kind of basically got like attacked and, it's just like so much is like out of our control. Right. And it's just unfortunate. I really do think if it was just Prop 16, I think we would have actually managed to get through that. But it was a lot of punches, and eventually, with each punch, it just got like, you know.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I agree.
Third time's a charm.
Speaking of situations of economic despair and then leading to catfights, should we talk about this AA DAO thing?
Oh yeah.
There's some fucking parallels with this shit.
Actually, I do have a topic. I don't know if guests are allowed to create sure. topics. And I'm really trying to like, you know, like you guys run a lot of nodes on a bunch of different blockchains. Mm-hmm. Who does that well? Which nodes are like the easiest to run? Thinking about things like archive, like which ecosystem has thought the most about things like archives, like the UX of running nodes, like who has the best UX for running nodes, and where do you think things could improve? Because I hear you come on the show all the time and just like complain a lot about how shitty it is. And I know it's shitty, but I'd love to hear you guys rant a little bit. And like, you run a bunch of nodes for a bunch of different chains. Who's doing it the best? Like, where are some areas where you'd like to see improvement?
So
that's my one question.
When you talk about running nodes, are you talking about from the perspective of a validator, a service provider, like the whole shebang?
From the perspective of validator. Yeah, the whole shebang. Like, you might also be running some nodes that are not just validators, right?
Yeah.
Like, an archive node is not a validator, and you don't get paid to run it, which is why people don't run archive nodes. But what if you get paid to run archive nodes?
Well, people that run archive nodes do get paid to run them. Like, on any network that has an actual functional archive node, somebody is being paid.
Some of them on the show.
100%. Exactly.
Hell yeah.
Well, it's also a balance.
It's a dirty secret, isn't it? It's a dirty secret behind blockchains. It's like, oh, the validator set will be paid with their commissions and yada, yada, yada. But like, a lot of the actual like super core infrastructure, like archives and whatnot, is resolved in US dollars somewhere. Because there are servers that need to be bought. There are contracts that need to be written. There are blah, 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 blah. And
it also, Jake, I think it's a balance of like other aspects too, because easiest, I mean, like Ethereum nodes for us are the least amount of shit that we touch. Like, fucking very rarely do you have a hard fork. Node upgrades are easy. That's slow blockchain. Like, the space is annoying, but it's really like hands off. Like, it's extremely stable. Like, but you're at 12 second blocks, right? So if you go the other way and look at Aptos is 300 milliseconds or whatever, has no hard forks. Like, it requires a really high amount of monitoring and also speed. So like, it's always a balance, right? So I don't know if there's anything to say like, this is a good balance of both those situations. I don't think nothing's for free. I know what the worst ones are. That one's easier to fucking talk about.
I mean,
than the best.
I mean, it might be. I think the better question, like at the risk of playing semantics, right, is it's not about what's easy. It's about what's simple to run, because that kind of covers off the points that Usurp is making, right? That there's a variety of different components to it. Like, easy simply means like to hand, right? It means close at hand. Simple means simplex. It means single, right? It means uninterwoven. And so the question is like, who are you asking the question because you're wondering about who the audience is that can run the thing? In which case, the question you're probably more asking is, because you can make something very, very easy. You can put a pencil next to somebody's desk and they will use the pencil because it's both a simple, tool and it's a very easy tool. You can give somebody a mobile phone next to their desk and they will use it because it is, again, a very, very easy tool. It's not a very simple tool, and their data is being harvested by someone and blah, 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 all the other problems, right? The problem is that actually like, in the guise of an easy tool, it is not a simple tool, and there's a lot of interwoven factors in it. And that's the question I think that you need to make in terms of like who the audience is that's actually going to be doing this thing and what their expectation should be on what they're interacting with and why.
So there's two audiences, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, the first is, well, it's a WebAssembly bundle, right? It's a WebAssembly blob. You can run it anywhere. And so like, that first audience is people running shit and they don't even know. Right? They just like, hey, I want to interact with this front end. And it just so happens that front end also has a ZK circuit in it that allows you to generate some proof, right? And that when they click the button to do the thing, it's going to use that WASM blob to do the thing, right? And maybe you could even have something like that's kind of akin to an Oracle where people in their browser are like basically fetching some data themselves and then like signing it. Being like, I was on the app at this time and I'm just like performing this service and putting signatures on to like verify some like off-chain thing. That's category one. the category two is professional operators, right? Because not everything for hardware reasons is going to be in that kind of like, oh, you just run it on your phone or your desktop, right? Some of these ZK proofs, like let's say you have to prove an entire Ethereum block or like multiple blocks, right? Like you're going to need some serious hardware, right? Like you're going to need professional operators. So we have these two kind of contexts, right? Like people like running stuff in their browser or like on some desktop application and it's just made easy for them, but they have consumer devices, right? And then professional operators that are going to be using professional like hardware.
Yeah. Those are good contexts.
But I would love to hear from the professionals because let's not worry about the first one because like you guys are the professionals with the good hardware. So
honestly, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think that honestly, Solana might be the easiest one for me. It takes a bit to get up and understanding. The machines are huge, but you're literally running one command. And even if you don't put up monitoring or anything, it basically just runs. Near is quite easy to run, but it takes quite a bit of time to like read through the docs and actually get going. But once it's going, it's just going. I'd say Aptos is kind of in that same vein.
But Solana is one command.
Solana is literally one command. Which,
what is configuration like? Do you have to like put in like C, like his? It's just like configuration and one command.
Command line arguments mostly.
Lots of command line arguments. Yeah.
But you start off like they give you basically the full flushed out arguments within the docs. So they basically just like copy and paste this and it'll go, right? So run one command to install the Solana binary, run the second command to actually run it. And that's basically it. Which I consider that deeply simple. Even if like you don't quite understand it, at least it's running.
Yeah.
And then you can play with it from that point.
Am I allowed to ask a follow-up question though? Because like, oftentimes that, you know, like some chains have oracles, right? And you have like this side process that you've had to run. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I don't just have to run my validator. I have to run this other thing. What has your experience been like with that? Like, I'll take the bad and the good if there is any good.
It depends on the side process. So like we're doing a lot with like skip connect. And so connect right now, it's one per chain. We run multiple nodes. It communicates with skip, and then that's all in vote extensions and all that kind of stuff, which has been pretty easy. It's like straightforward. Like there's a config, although there's a learning curve to it. Like people don't really initially understand how it works and the vote extension piece and how to monitor it and management. But again, that's out there. Things like the UMI and what was that before? Was it Kujira? What was the price feeder before UMI?
Kujira, Terra.
Kujira, UMA, Say. That thing's a piece of Anyway, that thing's it's just a pain. Like it'll just lose
the same price feeder, weren't they? It was like
it's all the same price, and all that is
a piece of technology. Yeah.
All it is every val hitting the same endpoints because those are hard coded endpoints. So everybody's hitting the same Binance API. Who gives a shit? That's fucking stupid. So,
oh yeah, that's really stupid.
Like they're all hitting. Some of those like skip you're controlling it. There's multiple different endpoints, and you have some visibility to that. But like those other ones, you're just hitting the same API because you're expecting a specific format back. So it's like proof of we're all hitting the same API, right? But I think some of those are moving away too, because, you know, I'm starting to see, Connect is probably the best one in the Tendermint ecosystem. On other ecosystems, I don't know, Pith is growing and things like that, where you have a third party service that's running it as an offshoot. So that's getting away from the Val set, and there's getting away from having the Val set being responsible for on-chain prices. Because some of that was so broken to begin with, it didn't really make any sense. So, but away from that, just the Oracle side, Jake, the other one would be like, I mean, ones that really are on the other side, like the pain in the ass side, would be L2s, like fucking Optimism and Optimism, Mode, anything else that's relying on L1, because you're running basically a consensus and separate execution engines. I think anytime you have a CL and EL, it's nice to be able to have the support of having multiple different options on the CL and EL, but you're still dealing with JWT files, or you're dealing with something else to be able to control the communication with that. And also having the right beacon node on Ethereum, as well as having historical aspect on the, I've been syncing a Ethereum beacon node for 4 weeks now, with all blobs, because there are not that many of those. Like all those types of situations just create challenges to be able to scale, right? And say, I want to be able to support that. And a lot of chains now that we're seeing it are heavily reliant on either an Ethereum L1 or even RPC access to a ton of other subchains, because they're using other types of, you know, off-chain data that requires from multiple different systems. So I don't know if I'm answering your question at all, but anyway.
No, that was great. I got so much out of that.
Honestly, the easiest chain for us to run right now, by far, 100%, Juno. There's no transactions. There's no upgrades. The fucking thing just runs, dude. Is that the answer you're looking for?
Great.
It's 100% the easiest chain that we run. There's nobody working on it. It's just making blocks, just going along, cruising along.
I mean, we still do emergency security patches.
You're like, I want to make sure we stay.
There's so many of those. That's really annoying.
Hey, I just proposed on Juno. Look at that. Right. Just because it was my.
Hey, I'm incentivized to keep Juno running until like the end of time. People bitch about losing money on Juno, but I think I lost the most money on Juno.
Null is sending messages in the back channel because he's got an infant in his hands. But he said his key piece was that team matters more than technology in terms of how it is to be an operator on. And I totally agree with that. Like team is by far clarity in terms of quality of delivery, not so much communication is like, once you start understanding it, quality of delivery, clear communication in terms of like coordination of teams. That is the bigger thing, because there's so much bad communication in this ecosystem.
Well, also, like it's more than just it. I mean, it is everything you said and more, right? Because if you have a good team, you can literally have this conversation and they will go away and refine a process, which is, you know, really good. But also, if you have like a very good team who are very technically astute, in particular, you will see improvements along the axes that need to be improved, and you can talk to them about those things and see meaningful engagement with the topic, right? Which, you know, so one of my big beefs with the Cosmos ecosystem in general is that whether we're talking bear market or bull market, there was a lot of high enthusiasm for a problem being posed. And, oh, yeah, that's an interesting thing to solve. That would be interesting to work on. That'd be whatever. But half the people in the room are burnt out. And then of the other half of the people, like, let's say one in five of the remaining 50% are actually technically capable of even approaching that problem. And then, you know, there's a grab bag of other excuses for the remaining four people. And you end up with no people that can actually address the hard problems. So one of the things I've noticed in other ecosystems is, like, not to generalize, but, you know, and this is across several ecosystems we don't validate as well, but just who I'm aware of, people who are public, who are developers on those teams, or, you know, they've been mentioned by other validators that I've been talking to or whatever. They said, oh, you know, so-and-so said this or whatever. So I've seen a name. But you just come across those same names having published, you know, it doesn't have to be academic work. It can be like a Medium post or whatever, where they clearly explain design decisions behind a thing, how they're going to improve it, what their current design and ideation process is behind a problem and a solution and the decision space that they're in. And I know that that's like not very important to end users, but you know, it feels like we're in a space in the Cosmos where you were lucky to get a roadmap, let alone any kind of blog post which showed a technical understanding of the complexity of some of the subjects that were being grasped. And then so it was like no surprise that when you got to like genuinely hard problems, there was no real, there frankly wasn't enough expertise in the room half the time, and certainly not enough expertise of people who still had the capacity to tackle a problem to actually start dealing with the things. And that's why the Cosmos tech stack became and has become so stagnant, because there aren't that many experts in Tendermint. There aren't that many experts in the SDK. And if you look at above all the levels above that, there aren't many experts in CosmWASM. There aren't many experts in whatever. And that's why CosmWASM itself was so successful, because people could actually write CosmWASM contracts and they couldn't interact with any other part of the stack. But in other ecosystems, you see people where they have nurtured and they've spent money and they've developed people. You see that there is a reasonable cohort of people who understand the consensus engine, who understand the execution layer, who understand the semantics of the smart contracts or the framework or whatever. And like that that is like very, very, very underprivileged. And it's something that I've really come to appreciate since going into academia, because you can literally see some ecosystems where, you know, they might just be a smart contract team or an L2 team or whatever, but you look at the quality of their published output and you go, oh, okay, right. You guys have a lot of problems to get over between getting from A to B to C to D. And you're going to have to solve those dynamically with your counterparty, with your validator set, with whatever. And there's a lot of teams that, frankly, you just don't have the, you know, back to Null's. This is basically a very long way of me saying Null's 100% right and much more right than I think his couple of messages, you know, say. But like, there are some teams that where you have absolutely no faith that they have the technical or strategic capacity to actually overcome the adversities they need to in order to get to their stated goal, right?
Definitely. And then I think the complete lack of collaboration in Cosmos compounds this, because how are you actually going to get the best to learn from the best? Well, they need to be working together. They need to be able to collaborate with together. But because we're all trying to be the one true hub, right? We're all trying to be the empire. Oh, it's Atom. No, it's Osmosis. No, it's Terra. No, it's like, it's my stupid chain. Like when people can't collaborate, then if you're a Cosmosis DK engineer at some other non-collaborative thing like Injective, you're basically isolated. You don't talk to like any of the other people working with this, the same technologies very infrequently. Yeah. And that really hinders learning. Like,
well, also it's kind of hard to,
you don't talk to people that don't work on ecosystems outside of your chain, because they're going to try to poach you for jobs. And if you have a job in the internet chain ecosystem and you want a lifeboat, if you're a great Cosmosm dev and you want to work with like Ethan Fry and some like cool people to like make something that's just like, I don't know, not as shitty, but like maybe we can make something inspirational. Please send me a DM. Actually, we're doing amazing at like poaching employees from Cosmos. Like, it's great.
It's like fish in a barrel, right? Like, what do you?
Yeah, I mean, everybody's unemployed. They're all back at McDonald's, aren't they?
Yeah, what the hell?
I know
they are. They just don't get recognized. I actually think we have like an insane amount of talent in the ecosystem, but like we have very inefficient granting orgs, and like a lot of our most talented people just don't get recognized at all. Like, there's insanely talented Cosmosm devs out there that have never gotten like a fucking grant.
I believe that.
Yeah.
And it's so insane to me. Like, people that I think did really special stuff, or like maybe they got like a secret grant or something like that, and they built some like insane cool thing that like allows you to sign stuff with MetaMask precompiles that like, you know, like just no snap MetaMask. Maybe they built it in Cosmosm, but because they're in secret, they don't get any ICF funding or whatever, like, or just like nothing. Like, people just built, like, to me, it's like, I think that there is a chance for the interchain to like really grow and become the dominant thing, but we need better culture, and the current culture we have just like, it's not very inspiring. Like, people are building Cosmos chains to just build knockoffs of other products that exist elsewhere. Like, we need like a new like era of crypto,
right? But that's back to what I was saying about technical understanding, right? If you don't have the technical literacy to actually go, we can get,
this is where you go to new audiences. You know, there's all these people, they work at these Web 2 companies, like, you know, and they're working on this thing called WebAssembly. It's amazing. I'm surprised we haven't talked to these people before. They're amazing Rust engineers. And some of them are actually quite young and dissatisfied with the way things are going. Oh, wow, this is great. And they're working for some boring startup whose whole purpose is to make, like, AWS save 200% on compute costs, because they're going to run things in Wasm components instead of Docker containers. And the whole purpose of their startup is to like just exist so they can like deliver that cost savings to Jeff Bezos and he can buy them, right? It's very uninspiring. These people are insanely talented, amazing Rust engineers. And they now, like, we can like capture that movement, that momentum. Some of them are working on Layer. It's like amazing. What if we got the people that actually build the Wasm fucking VM to like, instead of like making this like hodgepodge, like clusterfuck of something that's like, it's written in Rust, but then there's these bindings to go to connect it to these Cosmos chains. And then there's the Cosmos SDK, and that's not necessarily built with like the design properties of this Walsum VM in mind. Like, crazy. Unacceptable. Who's left? Let's make something better.
Who's left working on that right now? Is it just Simon? Like, who's left in the original like Walsum team? And like, is that just Caprio right
basically,
now?
It's basically like Simon holding the fort.
Yeah.
So
that's a lot of stress and ownership for something that literally a ton of chains and TVL is associated to.
Yeah, you know, and maybe Interchain Foundation won't even be their largest source of funding anymore.
Right. Right.
That'd be hilarious. I hope it doesn't come to that. But, yeah. You know, like, at the end of the day, like, we just have to do cool shit.
fucking boil it down.
Yeah. You know, Rama, can you put up Rama's comment? I want to comment on Rama's comment.
It's like, this one?
Yeah, there's been a lot of security patches in Cosmosm. Mm-hmm. But I would argue that's because it's like cobbled together into the technology stack, right? It's like we have a very jury-rigged system because it's like, yeah, it's Walsum, but it's Walsum like kind of through the lens of the Cosmos SDK. And it's Walsum that's just like very much wired into it. Like if we look at the reasons Juno halted, were they bugs in Cosmosm or were they bugs in the integration between Cosmosm and the Cosmos SDK? All the ones I remember were bugs in the integration between Cosmosm and the Cosmos SDK. Oh, really? Like, I remember only one bug that it was related to, like a bug in the Cosmosm standard library. Most of that shit is like the interplay between those two things, and you know, and I think that is because it is an unnecessary, complicated system that just needs to, like, you know, we decided to like just like start over. That it would be easier to just start over than try to like get the SDK to like fit the shape of the things we're trying to make. And so far that's been absolutely fucking true. In fact, like it's insane what you can, like the Rust like tooling is so fucking good these days. And if you want to do stuff like interact with the EVM, it just makes so much more sense. And like, guess what? No modules. Everything is just VM.
Yeah.
And that means if you build all your application logic in smart contracts or the equivalent of that, and you never have to upgrade. Like, you never have to really do a software upgrade in the same way. You don't have to do that. Oh, I'm on SDK 47 or whatever. Like, and now they've got SDK 50, and now I need to go and do a bunch of work that adds zero value to my fucking product, right? Like, how much of Juno development has, like, unfortunately for, like, you know, it's like, oh, we need to get on the new Cosmos SDK version, and so let's just remake all our old features, right? Like, this is such garbage and bullshit. Like, yeah. So yeah, the future is like, you just write your application logic in smart contracts effectively and like the Walsum VM, like just run everything in the VM. And then we can ship a performance boost upgrade or whatever, but all your application logic stays the same.
Yeah. That all seems part of progress to me though, right? Like based on the tools that were there at that time and the issues that came up, we had no visibility to that, right? And there's no foresight to that. So, I mean, that's part of this ecosystem.
Exactly.
Right?
We push the boundaries, right? And sometimes when you push the boundaries, you fail. And you have to look back honestly at your failures and be like, you know, and we also have to be able to cut our losses, right? And I think that the thing that I find really sad is like, there's like a lot of like losses in the technology stack. And yet we double down on our losses and don't reassess priorities to like other things. I mean, at the same time, I will say like, also Marco is doing the best job of what he can do. Right. Like he's making the SDK the best it can be. And the SDK itself can also be like a lot better. And I think it is actually on a track to getting a lot better. I'm just, I have a PTSD from all the previous experiences.
Well, I think the industry does overall, because like to this is a good learning piece, which is it's from you've owned chains, right? Like you've been primary in terms of delivering that value, and you can look back and say, hey, that worked or that didn't work or this or this. And you like, you're moving on to the next one. Right. But from an investment's a big word, but from somebody who's buying into a token or like trying to say that this is going to be the one, that's why we always talk about that a lot is like, it's moving so fast. And like the learnings are happening so quick that it's difficult to say that I can only do so much of that. Right. Like if somebody's putting money into that, which is just like, be careful with that shit. Right. Because like it's moving so quick and there's so much learnings going on, and there's nothing malicious in anything that we talked about. Right. Those are all valid types of things that end up from the base of technology that's enabling new experiences that
that then enable the next set of experiences.
That's what I want to make, new experiences. Yeah. You know, one of the things that really depressed me was like how just like little innovation we had. We had this amazing WebAssembly environment. Like we could have made like radically new types of NFT experiments, right? We could actually like, and in fact, some teams are using Wasm to like verify super complicated ZK proofs and then translating to that to something they can post on Ethereum, right? Like we could have built this like amazing stuff and no, and we shouldn't be so down on ourselves. We did really innovate for a time. Like Cosmos has been a trailblazing community.
Yeah, for sure.
Right. Yep. And like there are so many ideas that just had their firsts in Cosmos. And I think we should recognize that. Like it's something to appreciate. It's not like we should just like rest on our laurels so much. And like, we need to just be more honest when like things are not working.
Yeah. And also I think sometimes it becomes religious, right? Like it turns into like, yeah, so which is just fucking nuts. Like it's just,
Adam is a religion and you know, nuts. I'm not going to judge. You can have whatever religion you want. I wish your religion well. Like,
yeah, it's just not.
I am going to do a different religion. It's called maybe Ethereum. Maybe.
Got a religion with a lot more money in it. Like, there's a lot.
It's great. It's objectively better. Ethereum parties, objectively better. Like, Cosmoverse, like, parties, just, like, fucking absolutely atrocious.
That's like, funny. That's super funny, dude.
No, it's like,
I mean, to be honest, are any validators in Cosmos earning enough money to even buy a general admission ticket to Cosmoverse this year?
Is that what you said? So didn't you, do you comment about that today?
$175. And we also saw some validators talking about earnings on a particular Cosmos chain. That's a mid tier Cosmos chain maybe. And the numbers lined up quite elegantly, I thought.
You got to run a note for a loss in a year to earn enough rewards to be able to go to Cosmoverse and then bitch about it. fucking hell.
Yeah. I mean, they're just like charging, like, you know, for example, no one from Cosmoverse reached out to like DAODAO at all.
Really?
Like, not even to like Noah or whatever. Yeah. Not a single person.
It's weird.
It's like, the expectation that is that if you're a project, you like pay to sponsor Cosmoverse and like.
Well, but that was always the grift. That was the grift back in the day, and we were calling it first on Gamer Nodes. People being shaken down for money by Cosmoverse.
Dude, that Circle Stake ad we did was fucking awesome, though. I gotta say that was like Gamer Nodes highlight. That was fucking good.
Brings a smile to my face.
That was like the noble, was it Lavana on the stage and like Mars and somebody else, and we did a massive Circle Stake banner behind them while they were talking. That was good. That was good times. We gotta see, we have some other opportunities this year. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, maybe we can troll again this year.
that was through OmniFlix too. That was actually a cool OmniFlix actually use case.
You guys should come to DevCon.
Is that coming up? Are you going to permissionless?
Yeah, so we're like going to sponsor the restaking track to permissionless.
I think I'm going out there.
We should hang out.
That'd be cool.
Oh.
SLC.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, it'd be fun. It'd be great to see you in person. And we seriously are looking for great like node operators, and we're trying to like get their feedback about stuff because
I know four.
Because I think it matters.
I know four.
Amazing. You're in. Congrats.
Awesome. Frey, I don't know. It's like out of that game now.
Out of which game?
The node operator game. Just all mental. Now it's all mental. Probably. You just flushed the toilet of these last chains, so you can't just get back into it.
I mean, Frey can be in anytime he wants. He just has to like, you know, get through his moody phase. he's very bearish on crypto, having gone through so much bullshit.
I think two things don't work for me, right? State model, I think, is broken.
Well, we just happen to have like an amazing research team called Block Science working on a new type of state model. So, like,
okay, I mean, if it's still on a centralized ledger, then it NGMI.
Jeez,
that's fine.
You can. That's cool. Yeah, everything's NGMI. We all must like bow down to the CB like the central bank digital currencies, we must, you know, that's just how it is. And so we're going to be.
Noel's like, yeah. You can, yeah.
I actually don't believe any of that. I think
some of the most dynamic and complex economies that have ever existed on a purely cash basis, although there's obviously problematic aspects to cash as well. And I think that I actually don't have, if you're like, well, I don't have a problem with going back to Ethereum and being an Ethereum boomer. I don't have a problem with going back to fiat currency and being a fiat boomer, as long as I get privacy guarantees with it that are better than the current privacy guarantees afforded to me on a permissionless ledger, because ultimately what I'm interested in is program. I'm interested in programmable economic incentive systems. And it is my pretty strong belief at this point that the most stable way of interacting with programmable economic systems is via a real world fiat currency that is backed by the labor of taxpayers. If somebody proves me wrong by coming up with another solution, I'll be interested in hearing
it. I think that we are aligned on the same long-term goal.
I just think you can't run before you can walk, and like, you need to solve that problem. And you know, you're looking at a world in which there is a huge amount of, especially developing economies, that are looking at moving directly.
Like, you know, some of the big users of our stack might be people making fiat currencies or whatever. I don't try to judge. I just try to rep what I think is cool.
I think that identity and money and those things need solving with a reasonably robust foundation that requires a bit more thought than jumping in and hoping that it will be okay. And I think that's kind of what
I think that's my look back at like the whole Cosmos experience was like, and part of me thinks, I think we were just like super baller for doing this, but we all just like got into launching blockchains without anyone having really any clue what they were doing about something in the process, right? Like maybe people understood the tech, but they didn't understand economics at all. And like, maybe like, yeah, it was a crazy experiment.
It was cool, but you know, everything has its season. Nothing's forever, dude.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to like sort of announce what I'm doing on this podcast. Like, it's my first podcast.
Demo next time. That I've officially... Oh, this is like an announcement.
Demo next
time. Oh shit.
I guess.
This is what you picked.
There's like a website and stuff. It's in the handle.
Layer that.
No one asked me about Borgs though. Like, why are you not down Maximalist anymore? Like, I think we're just gonna have to hold that for next time. You have to hit the end credits thing. And now, Roma, it's not the end of Cosmos, because